Hi, this is Tina Panero from Tina Panero Life Solutions, and this is the Hypnotist Podcast. Hi, I want to talk to you today about the mistake many hypnotists make in their sessions. And I have to tell you that so many hypnotists make mistakes. They leave out important parts of the session simply because they don't like to do it or they don't understand why they're doing it. Today I want to stress and strongly suggest you do all the recommended parts, so you can begin to understand why they're important. You know, the importance of good training, I can't even tell you what that means. You need the basics. It's the foundation that you'll build all your skills and your business on. You have to make the right choice. You have to get the right training. And if you had training that was not great, that's okay. There's still time to get the right training. Just make sure you get what you need so that you can build where you want to go. I mean, after all, you are paying for it. So, even if you've been doing hypnosis for a while, this message still could be for you. It's essential to put your ego on the shelf for a few minutes and just listen to what I have to say. You know, we're in the business of helping other people be a better version of themselves. We always ask them to put their egos aside. Sometimes it's a little hard for us. You know it is. So, creating a comfortable environment. I spend a great deal of time on this. When people come into my establishment, into my office, it's a comfortable environment. Right away, it makes them feel at home. So I really do have a place that looks, even though it's my office, that looks comfortable. It looks inviting. The furniture is comfortable to sit on. Everything around them is nice, decorated, coordinated. You don't have to spend $1 billion on that, but create a comfortable environment. Make sure that where they sit is comfortable. Make sure they can hear you. Make sure there's nothing loud or crazy going on. Make sure it's not cluttered or, you know, let it look professional. I realize that sometimes this particular business has home offices, and that's fine, but make it so that it's comfortable. They shouldn't be stepping over anything. The dog shouldn't be scratching on the door or anything like that. You need to create that comfortable environment for them. One day I was teaching a private student in my office, and the owner was selling the building, and they alerted us that there was going to be someone coming in, some sort of inspector. So we let him in when he came to the door, and he was talking and telling us what he was going to do, and in the middle of his sentence, he stopped. He took a look around and said, "Hey, it's really nice in here." We laughed because we had gone over this, and, you know, we said thank you, and that was pretty much it. But what I intended was done. All of the things that I had put in my office to make that happen happened with someone that didn't even come in for my services. So let me tell you what my office looks like. It has two very comfortable chairs. First one for me, because I need a comfortable chair. And the second comfortable chair is this amazing recliner that everybody wants to take home with them. Other things in my office are a little less important, but I do have a desk. I have a shelf that has storage books, things that I need, and some storage inside the bottom. And it also has a file cabinet. These are all obvious things, a computer, a TV. You know, it doesn't have to be a million things in there, as long as everything's set up nice. Another thing that I make sure is that the temperature is correct. I'll tell you a cute story about that one too. The temperature is right, and I also try to have some kind of lavender or some kind of scent that is relaxing for people. I use lavender essential oil, but you could use anything, just as long as you come in, it feels relaxing, pleasant. And of course, I always have relaxing music playing in the background. We want to start that way. You know, it always starts with me too, because I can't be crazy running around, don't know where anything is. So organization, or some sort of organization to everything that you do and everything you have in the office, will create a comfortable atmosphere for people. So all of those things combined creates a nice place for them to visit. Now, building or establishing rapport, I do welcome people when they come in. And as they're filling out forms, if they haven't filled them out online or whatever, I'll make small, polite conversation. I definitely use mirroring and things to establish rapport. And we get a little, you know, something going. And feel like we're both on the same page. Is this always a comfortable thing? No, some people aren't really responsive, or you don't really click from the first moment you walk in. Maybe they're a little nervous and they're quiet. All of those things really are outside things. My job is to make sure that they feel that I'm working for them and working with them. So I always take the time to establish rapport. I don't care what's going on. Now, the pre-talk. You know, stay with the things that you know. Don't go outside of that. Keep to the subjects you know. And if you don't particularly know a lot about them, you can find out some things that would be beneficial for the people that you're working with. Make sure that you can repeat back some things about, you know, what they're talking about, what their struggle is, what their challenge is, and listen to what they have to say. And sometimes you can take their limiting beliefs and reframe them. And it's such a great opportunity to really do hypnosis before you do hypnosis. So make sure that pre-talk has some dialogue that establishes what their issues are, so that you can give them other things to think about and allow them to open their mind to other possibilities. Now, suggestibility tests. Now, this is a big one, a really big one for people. They don't do them for hypnotists. They don't do them often. And I'm gonna tell you, I was on the bandwagon of, well, what do we have to do? It's a suggestibility test. But I always do them. And it helps people. And I explain to them why I'm doing it. I do not say suggestibility test. That's the truth. I say exercise. I don't wanna give them any words that would cause them to, you know, get nervous about failing or succeeding. And I actually tell them that too. This is not a good or bad, failure or success kind of thing. This just tells me what I need to do to work in your own best interests. And after I do that, they love it. Plus, if I use the pendulum, sometimes I can't get it out of their hand because they want to play with it. They think, you know, they have mind control down now. And that's okay if they're into it and they're having some fun with it. It lightens the mood. It feels good. I'm good with it, you know. Okay, so let's talk about the induction. You know, I don't know if your training included analytical minds, but whatever induction you use for people should be as a result of the suggestibility test. So it's not just, hey, let's have some fun with a pendulum or sticking their hands together. There is a real reason for it. So your induction should include things that are going to help them relax and or go into the state of hypnosis. Now, whatever suggestibility test you use, and I really think you should use more than one. Some people get kind of comfortable, but use them. And use them in groups and use them individually and just get them all comfortable. As far as the induction, I will use, especially the first time, I like a progressive relaxation and using something that will also have some components that speak to an analytical mind, some visualizations and such, and that helps them all. So don't rush the induction. Yes, we can all do rapids, absolutely. But if I have them come for an individual or a group experience, I want it to be an experience. I want them to understand it. I want them to have time to feel good. I can do, if the situation called for it, we could do rapids. But I think that the induction should be relaxing and or allow them to go into that trance state and feel good about it, feel good about what they're doing, and start to understand what they're doing, especially if it's their first time. Now, I don't know how many of you use a deepener, but the deepener is a fantastic thing for you. Again, if this is the first time, let them have the time to go into hypnosis and go deeper. Let them see the difference between their normal waking state of tension and anxiety and crazy worry thoughts and all that, and this. Let them see the difference. Let them appreciate it. Let them feel good that there is a state of mind that they can go into where they won't feel like pressed for time and all of that. It's a wonderful experience. So allow the deepener to do what it's supposed to do, which is deepen the level that they're in. Convincers. My thought when I was learning hypnosis was, if I need to use a convincer, then it doesn't work. So maybe it doesn't work. So we're forgetting again, let's talk about the ego, okay? Mine was pretty huge. Not anymore, not as much, depending on the day. So, you know, the convincer is there for a reason, and it's not a reason for me. It's for them. This is a natural, normal state of mind. It's something that they go in and out of each day. And their thoughts about it often are that they're going to be unconscious or something's going to happen and they're going to, boom, go right into it. This is all based upon things they've seen on TV or movies or whatever, you know, depiction of hypnosis they have, you know, been exposed to. But It happens gradually. It's something that's normal, as I said. So oftentimes, you could spend 45 minutes doing it. And inevitably, somebody will open their eyes and say, well, I don't think I was hypnotized. Well, you haven't moved for 45 minutes. I mean, that's a clue right there. I should have taken a picture or a movie, video. And, you know, it's really a lot of fun when the people that are, like, hyper before they come in are just, you know, don't even move for 45 minutes. But those are usually the people who say, I don't think I was hypnotized. Well, you know what? Let's remove all doubt. Removing all doubt is going to help them. I'm going to give you a little secret, too, on convincers. It's going to help them to understand that they really were and just let it happen. It's going to have an impact anyway, even if they don't. But let them be cooperative members of this, you know, team, all right? So when I was first couple of years, I was at a meeting of hypnotists, and this woman was so upset because she didn't want to do a convincer because she used the one where you know, tell them that their eyes are heavy, but they open their eyes every time, or some people open their eyes, and she didn't want to take that chance. Well, what you don't want to take a chance on is that you're succeeding, okay? It's the hypnotist that is having the issue with it. Let the people be successful. Let your clients be successful. Say to them, give the suggestions that all the tiny muscles around their eyes are relaxing and feeling so good. Tell them that their eyelids are heavy, and that they're relaxing them deeper and deeper. And then you can say to them that when you feel that you've relaxed your eyes so deeply that they wouldn't even open, even if you tried, tell them to try one time and then stop trying and go deeper into hypnosis. It is a rare occasion that anyone in my office opens their eyes or does anything else when I'm doing a convincer. I don't allow the opportunity. I funnel them into success. Sure, if I sit there for 15 minutes, I can open my eyes too, you know? You can. You have control in hypnosis. You don't want to. So what are you going to do? Sit there and wait for them to open it? You miss the whole thing. And that is a mistake that I've seen so many times, this particular woman that I'm talking about. I just scratched my head because I knew she didn't really get it. Okay, let's talk about the script. This is the most creative part. The part where you could really go places or not go places as you wish. It doesn't have to be a script. Are you good at off the cuff? Do that. I've been in situations where I was in a therapist's office and they asked me to do hypnosis, and I didn't have the opportunity for scripts. And then I did some things, you know, in groups and such during lectures. And you get used to not having the script if you put yourself in those situations a bit. And basically, the script is great, okay? And you could use a script anytime. But don't let that be the only thing you use. I like to have one because I'd like to have to make sure I'm thorough and that I'm using all the points that I want. But inevitably, during that pre-talk, that successful pre-talk, they told me things that are not in my script. And now I have to include them. Not only do I have to include them, but I have to write them down and make sure I record them. So my script doesn't have to be a script, but it can be a script. And it needs to address all the things they need from you. Now, if somebody comes in for smoking cessation, for example, and they have a major concern that they're going to gain weight. Well, that needs to be in there. Make sure that it says that. That's an easy one. I'm sure we've all done that before. There might be additional things in the script that you might want to include. Now, I'm of the school of thought where I do the simplest thing for them. I don't get into everything unless the subject or the person calls for it. So if I'm doing something having to do with smoking cessation, for example, I might do some things that wouldn't be just a script. It might include some future pacing. It might include some mental rehearsal. It might include a lot of like additional things that you may not use in everything. But why don't you take a look at all of these things one way or the other, whether you're familiar with them or not. Look at them. If you buy a script, notice if it's in there. And then start noticing the places where you could put them, where you can alter them and put them. This is such a great learning experience for new hypnotists or, you know, hypnotists who haven't been exposed to everything. Allow yourself the opportunities to go without a script and then to look at the different ways in which we can help people in our scripts and use those methods. Now, emerging from hypnosis, I know a lot of people that get really nervous. They might ask you to come back to the room or count up, or some people count down. I count down to go in and up to come out. That is a personal preference. It makes the most sense to me, and that's what I like to do. So I emerge saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I'll give them suggestions for relaxation, confidence, whatever it is. And then I say, at the count of 5, you'll emerge from hypnosis, eyes wide open, fully awake. And that's what I do. Now, you can do it in any way that you want to, but I like to keep the same, no matter what everything else is, I like to keep the same method of emerging from hypnosis. I think everybody just feels comfortable with it. I might say a couple of different things, but I use my 1 to 5. Now, what happens if you're in an office and you tell the person to emerge? Now, you know, eyes wide open, at the count of 5, eyes wide open, fully awake, feeling great. And you're sitting there because the person still has their eyes closed. Well, there are a few things that you can do. First, you know, I've been there before where I didn't want to come out of hypnosis because it's pleasant. This is a testament to your abilities, so there you go. That's a wonderful thing. But what you're going to do is give them a few moments. You could count up again. You could just say the number 5, snap your fingers and saying, opening your eyes, emerging from hypnosis. You can do a few things, but give them a few minutes and let them come up. Sometimes it's a little slower in hypnosis. Now, we have a pre-talk, so we have to have an after-talk now, don't we? We have to ask them what kind of things they felt in hypnosis, the ways in which they were convinced that they were in hypnosis, whether it's the eyes or feeling like, you know, your arms and legs are tingling, etc., whatever suggestions you gave them. So you want to note that in your notes. And, you know, I take basic notes, but I do put this all down because it's important for when they come back. It's important for you. So at your after talk, you're talking about that. You're asking them if they have any questions, how they feel, you know, I like to ask smokers, you know, how do you feel about cigarettes? And some of their answers are so cute, so funny. And basically just being supportive and or saying some of the things or reinforcing some of the things you said. Like if I give them a post-hypnotic suggestion, I like to tell them after hypnosis, they really are kind of still a little, you know, in there anyway, highly suggestible, that's for sure. So you put your thumb and forefinger together, take a slow deep breath, think the word relax. That's a post-hypnotic suggestion. I would reinforce that after they are now out of hypnosis looking at me. I give them the opportunity. Most of them don't really ask terribly a large amount of questions. They're kind of like, hey, what just happened? Which is fun. And then there's what I call the exchange of energy, where you have given everything that you could give to them in their session, and they are giving you back the energetic exchange or the exchange of money for your services. I do not like to think of it as money. And the reason I even say that or bring that up as far as the session is concerned is because some people have trouble taking money or taking a certain amount of money because they feel that if they want to give to people, they shouldn't be. Well, that's a whole lot of malarkey. This is an important job. It is an absolute benefit to the community, and you should feel good about that. You know, you're exchanging all that you have to offer for the dollar amount that they feel comfortable giving you, or that you set for them to give you, and they're happy with that. So let it happen. Don't worry so much about that or put some bad kind of thoughts about money on that. Really no need. And then finally, setting your next appointment. Take that opportunity to set up your next appointment. If they don't want to, they'll tell you. But let them, when they're fully happy and, you know, and feeling the benefits, give them that opportunity to continue this work with you, to really feel good about it and to, you know, make the next appointment and not just forget about it or put it on the shelf. Give them that opportunity. It's not just you being greedy. It's you continuing your work with them. And that's kind of a special thing if you ask me. So, yes. Many hypnotists make mistakes in their session, but include everything in there. And I can guarantee you will have a great session. You'll feel comfortable. They'll be satisfied. And you'll have a great business. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you on the next one.